Ghost Hunting in New England,
your favorite spooky podcast.
All right, Ghost Hunting in New England, 100th episode, take two.
Ghosts, ghouls, specters, poltergeists, spirits. Many names have been given to the presence that can be seen or felt or smelled. But is it real? Or do we just enjoy scaring ourselves?
Join us, Amelia.
And Beth.
Two cousins trying to figure out history's bumps in the night. Is it residual energy? Ghosts? Time loops? Angels?
We're not going to do any demons, though.
We're here to hear all your best ghost stories in the region and look back at some of the area's favorite legends. So join us and our EMF readers as we try to decipher possible EVPs and talk to some experts in the paranormal realm.
You can find us on Insta or Twitter at Ghost Hunting in New England or email us ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com.
Don't forget to click subscribe and get ready for your new favorite spooky podcast.
Welcome to Ghost Hunting in New England.
Bye.
Hello and happy 100th episode of Ghost Hunting in New England with your hosts Amelia
and Beth.
And we did it, Beth, 100 episodes. I think we have a lot of really, really, really fun stuff we're going to be talking to everyone about today.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We have spent the last week combing through all of our early episodes, trying to find you those gems.
And 100 episodes is a lot to go through.
100 episodes is a lot to go through, especially when they were all good episodes. Luckily, Amelia has already listened to all of them like 16 times each, so she knows pretty much all of them by heart.
I mean, I wouldn't say 16. I would definitely say at least 3. We make a quality show. It's my favorite spooky podcast. What can I say?
Okay. I'm glad that you love this podcast. I was just kind of surprised as I was listening. I'm like, oh, I'd forgotten we talked about that.
Well, it's definitely been a while. Okay, Beth. So do you want to start us off?
So I thought that one of the very first things that we should talk about is actually how ghost hunting in New England came to be. So for those of you who have been with us for a long time, this is actually from our opening episodes, those very first three. And this is from the Market Basket, which is the first investigation that we ever did. And so this is where we're talking about how ghost hunting in New England became a thing.
I would like to point out something else we did that day. We went out for dinner at a vegetarian restaurant. A vegan restaurant.
We did. It was quite good.
It was delicious. For my vegan Massachusetts Instagram. Follow us online, vegan Massachusetts on Instagram. But we told the young lady who was our waitress about where we were going, that we were going to do this ghost hunt in Market Basket. And she said to us, you guys need to create an Instagram. And it was that moment we decided to do this podcast.
Did we?
Yes.
Interesting.
How do you not remember that? Because then we were like, yeah, we should do the Instagram. And then later that night, you made the Instagram. But we were there like, yeah, we should do a podcast too, and blah, blah, blah.
And so it began, Ghost Hunting in New England, Bayberry Cafe in Woburn, Massachusetts, who just yesterday was named as one of two vegetarian restaurants in Massachusetts to make Yelp's 100 Best Vegetarian Restaurants in America list.
Nice. Congratulations to them.
Yeah, way to go.
And just to think, the ghost hunting in New England story is connected with them. It's almost like we were named to Yelp. Sometimes you just have to say ridiculous things.
So yeah, that was a ton of fun, Beth. Joni, what else did we do that day?
What else did we do that day? So we went over to the Market Basket that night. And as you may recall, we walked up and down the aisles and we thought that we saw some activity on the EMF reader when we were, you know, looking for a ghost at the Market Basket. And so with the Lady of the Coffees. Yeah. And in typical Beth fashion, I was taking it all very seriously. So here's some clips of Amelia and I walking up and down the aisles trying to catch some EVPs.
This is a recording on March 29th, 2019, 8:03 p.m. We are in aisle 17 of the Market Basket in Wilmington, where there have been numerous reports of a ghost. This is EVP section number one. We're going to see if we can get any recordings of this ghost talking to us.
Near the raviolis.
We're near the raviolis where the EM reader has gone off a few times. So Spirit, if you can hear us, please try to come through. We actually have a high reading by the Texas Toast. Beth is recording that right now. If there is a ghost here, you can try to talk to us. Is there a spirit here now? Did you pass in this location?
Do you enjoy New York Bakery's Texas Toast with real cheese? Do you like the music selection?
That was a fun clip. That was a fun trip altogether.
Yeah.
We did. We got lots of time walking up and down the aisles. I had forgotten all about that really delicious chocolate treat that I got at the bakery while we were just kind of like waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, that was good.
I swear to God, the front door just opened.
I hear that. Is Bobby there with you or?
Just me. Or not.
That was very spooky. Is it windy?
A little bit, but the door was closed.
I heard that open with the bells. That was weird.
Yeah. I'm going to go close the door.
All right.
1 second.
Seems like we have some spookies there for our 100th episode.
A little bit.
In fact, I was trying to find clips from when we got the orb in the basement of the house you recorded. Mm. That was cool.
That was very cool. But
that was one of like the few real orbs that I think we've really ever captured. That's not just like obviously dust.
We had a good spot over here.
We did.
The spirits that are here, they come by and they scare the heck out of me from time to time. And but for the most part, we just get along. Sometimes I just talk to them and they seem to calm down. And other times I'll be sitting here recording the podcast and someone opens the door. Anyway. So yeah, that's how ghost hunting in New England got started. Investigating the Texas Toast, trying to do some EVPs. We, you know, spoiler alert, if you haven't listened to the episode yet, we didn't actually get anything in EVPs, but it was a really fun experience to go out and just be there.
Way, 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 way back in March 2019.
Wow. Yeah. It was a full year pre-pandemic. We are a pre-pandemic podcast, which means we're good. And that's how we're at 100 episodes already.
Well, Beth, from there, from our first trip to the Market Basket way, way up in Wilmington, we've been a lot of other places.
Oh, we go lots of places.
We do. And I decided to pull some clips from way back in time. Pretty much all of them are from season one, many, many moons ago.
Well, in all fairness, it was very hard to get out during the pandemic and go places and see things. So
absolutely.
We definitely saw the most things in season one and we traveled the most places. But I think that this past season, we also, you went out with Barry and you know, I went over to the Emery house. So we were able to get out a bit more this year.
Yeah. And over the summer, we were down at the USS Salem. So we did some fun things.
And we went to Mid-Orange Correctional Facility.
We did. We went to the Oliver house. Oh, yeah, let's not cut ourselves short. We went to a lot of places this year.
Right.
But let's take a look way back in 2019. So the first one is our trip to a private residence in Beverly, Massachusetts. And I chose this clip because, you know, when you're doing a ghost hunt, it's not just about what you're picking up on your EMF readers or your REM pods. It's about looking into the history. It's about getting a feel for the place to really know the people there,
the history, which I just said. And, it's, you got to kind of look at the whole sphere of things, right? It's not just, is there a ghost that's going to jump out and scare me? There's a lot more to it. So let's hear some of this history up in Beverly.
Okay, so this week we're going over something kind of cool we did. We went to a haunted mansion turned into apartments in Beverly, Massachusetts. And we had a lot of fun.
We did. We went over to a home in Beverly, and it is rented by Sarah and Mike. And it's a first floor apartment out of what? There are 8 units in the whole building?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. And so they have the first floor, and then they have space in the basement and space in the attic. And so we checked out a whole bunch of it over a few hours that we were there.
We did, and it was great. And my friend James set it up for us, so thank you, James. And thank you so much, Sarah and Mike, for hosting us. Not only did we have a great time looking for ghosts, but we had some really great food. They were so kind. They made us some salsa and some guacamole, and it was amazing. And we wish everyone, if you're listening and you want us to come and do a ghost hunt at your place, we're okay if you make us food. Well, we're there.
Especially if it's donuts.
Yes. If you know how to make homemade donuts, then go for it. Some of the interesting stuff about this home. So it's one of the oldest mansions in Beverly, which is a pretty old part of Massachusetts. And it was, they were telling us while we were there that when it was originally built, there were hiding grounds for people escaping from the Underground Railroad. So there's a tremendous amount of history. Their apartment, which is actually pretty spacious, it's a very big unit. Their kitchen was the size, 1/3 the size of the kitchen of the original house. So it's a just huge, sprawling manor, I guess you could even call it. And it was beautiful and fun and spooky, and we had a really nice time.
The house was very much like a cabin in the woods that you might go to if you were a hunting type. And it had lots of dark wood grain to it. There were wood floors. There was a big fireplace right there that we got a fire going in. It was very, very cozy.
Yeah, it was great. The all rock fireplace. And it's a beautiful spot. It's up on a hill. They're putting a new development in right around it. But some of the history, again, is so, you know, you have the Underground Railroad, you have this being one of the oldest mansions in the United States with a lot of servants in and out of there, a lot of slaves escaping the South, going through there, heading up to Canada. And then later, it became a dormitory for Endicott College. Then there was some incidents with Endicott that I found online, excessive partying in this home. So the owner stopped the lease to Endicott. There was an incredible amount of damage done. And actually, I've read a piece. Before that, there was also a major fire. So a lot of the original home had been destroyed and rebuilt, but there's still a lot of remaining pieces from that original home, which it's interesting. You know, I mean, it's not often that you, at least not in this country, have the opportunity to go into a house this old. When you think about how much history goes on over years and years and years, centuries, it's pretty cool. It's interesting.
It is cool and interesting. And we had a lot of fun there. And they did make great food. I think we should make it a point to do ghost hunts at places where people are professional chefs.
Yeah, I think that that's a good niche industry that we can definitely kick off the ground.
Yeah. We ghost hunt at chef's homes. So, yeah, that was it. Beth, do you remember some of the spooky stuff that happened to you at our house in Beverly?
Yes. Yes, I do. We were only there for a couple of minutes, and I was standing in their kind of like family room, and something walked up and just, you know, touched me on the arm, just letting me know I was letting me know that they were there.
Spooky.
There was nothing mean in their house. It was very just old. There was just somebody there that liked being there, enjoyed the company of people.
Yeah. Like to hang out by that big, huge fireplace.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, oh, that was the place we went that there were like 12 toilets in the basement, right?
That is right. Yes, it was.
And it was the toilet graveyard.
Yeah, I was like, I think that had to do with the connection with Endicott.
That Endicott brought all of their used toilets over and stored them in this house's basement.
I think with all the partying, a lot of toilets got broken. Yeah.
That makes sense. Why would people break the toilets? Kids.
Kids.
We also do a lot of episodes on colleges around New England and the haunted stories in colleges. So you guys can head out and check those out if you haven't heard any of those yet.
Or you can be thankful if you're in college that you're not close to getting into an insane asylum.
Mm.
Some of your shenanigans back in the day would have gotten you locked right on up. As we discuss in this clip, when we went to the very spooky, very haunted Danvers State Hospital, which was also our first time meeting medium Jamie Day, who has been on the show 4 times since.
Back in the early 1900s, you could end up in an insane asylum real quick and real easily. Yeah. It was not like today. You could be just overwhelmed one day. You just be having a bad day and someone doesn't want to deal with you and they
right. Especially people who didn't have strong family foundations. You know, if someone's parents died when they were young and they were an orphan, if they acted out in any way, they were considered insane. Which, you know, if your parents die when you're young, you've been traumatized and you need therapy. You don't need to be locked away. So there were some patients like that. And there were some people who were violent and were sent up here for good reason. But there were also just a lot of people who were special needs and had cognitive or developmental disabilities. Mm-hmm. They weren't insane. They were differently abled than we are.
And isn't that the truth?
Absolutely. And Jamie has been a great asset, and she's gone with us to a couple of different places. She went out with us this past season or last season to the Isle of Shoal. And then she came on and talked all about the history of the island with us on that episode. Jamie's great fun to have on.
Yeah, Jamie's a good time.
She's very knowledgeable.
Very knowledgeable. She also told us this kind of fun little story from over at Danvers State.
There was one story on the Facebook group about a guy who's now a grown adult, and he grew up in one of the homes nearby, like toward around the bottom. And he said his yard was kind of like a hill. And he said he looked out one time and could see a bunch of people running down the hill. And then could see a bunch of people chasing them.
Oh my goodness.
Coming right towards his house.
Oh my
gosh. And it was just like known back then that if you see that, you just lock the door and stay.
The good old days of living downhill from the insane asylum. You look up and you just see people running away.
Coming right at your house.
Oh. And it's just another day. Like, lock your doors.
Oh, I had forgotten all about that story. That's so funny. Just the visual of like looking out the window the way Jamie described it and seeing just this mob of people running down the hill toward you, like, and no one like, oh, it's Tuesday, like, just wild, absolutely wild.
So Beth, one of my favorite places we've ever gone was, and another place where we got some really good food as a matter of fact, was the Windham restaurant up in beautiful sunny Windham, New Hampshire.
The food there was spectacularly good.
Yes. But you know what was even better than the food? The lovely staff who was so accommodating and so happy to discuss with us all the spooky things going on inside the Wyndham.
Okay. I feel like once I started telling people outside of my husband who I tell everything, I feel like it stopped. My opinion was, this is what I think is a little boy, and I could be way wrong. I feel like it's maybe more than one little boy, because the silly things that happen, not to me, it's not scary. A little bit eerie sometimes. It's things my boys would have done to me when I was little. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense.
I have two places here where I get a feeling.
Okay.
I don't know if this is what you're looking for.
Oh, this is exactly what we're looking for.
There's an attic up there. What? This is original, as you can see.
Right.
Weird feeling right here.
Mm-hmm.
Not scary, just
weird.
I don't know.
Just like a heaviness or?
I don't even know. You know when you feel something behind you but you don't? And I'm like, what the heck? So I know if I look left, there's a window and I don't want to see a reflection. Look to the left. I was like, I'm not looking. I'm like this, trying to walk around. Grab the paper. I couldn't get out of this room fast enough. wasn't scary. It was just, if it was scary, I would. It was warm weather, but it wasn't as far back as last summer. So they feed us every night before our shift. They're very good people to work for.
Yeah.
And we all eat in there like a family.
Nice.
So we're all in there. Nick, who's on the bow this evening, was on that night as well. And we have a gentleman that comes in. So he's at the very end on that side. Nick is down that end, cutting the fruit, the garnish for the drinks. Nobody in between, nobody else there. We're all in there. All of a sudden, we hear a crash, bang, the sound of breaking glass. Unbelievable. So we all jump up and look. You girls know what champagne flutes are? Very delicate and thin. Five of them are on the floor, off the shelf, on the floor, without a single chip out of them.
Ooh.
So, of course, I look over and go, yeah, you guys can pick those up.
Wasn't that fun?
That really was fun. And I think that there's definitely a theme that we go somewhere and we eat and we do something spooky and it's a good time. Because yeah. I know we did that in the fall with Paul and Sean as well when we went down to the Alden House.
Yeah.
And where did we go after that? Or the Sun Tavern? We
went to the Sun Tavern.
Oh, yeah.
Duxbury.
Yeah. So I like it when we do all of those trips. But yeah, the one to Wyndham was fun. And then I think the one that I remember, the thing that I remember most about the Wyndham was when we both managed to think that we were sneaky going into the bathroom and trying to record an EVP and then finding out about it later that we both did that.
Yeah. We each did it not telling the other person.
So we got in the car afterwards and I said to Amelia, I'm like, I recorded an EVP in the bathroom. And she's like, I did too. So we listened to them in the car and then recorded some commentary. I think we answered listener questions, right?
We answered listener questions. Yes. Yeah.
That was a fun night. So I actually have one too, Amelia, from this year. And it's from our interview with Barry Corbett.
Oh.
And so this is about somewhere that you guys went.
Pretty interesting, because it was an English colony originally. She got the name David. I think there was another name, but I can't remember what it was. She never got the woman's name. But when we started worrying about this critter out there, one of us said, I think we should leave.
That was me. I was the one saying, I think we should leave. That was me.
He said, I think we're perfectly safe here. And then Michelle, who's listening to the spirit box, just says, no. It's like we're being warned to get out of there.
Yeah.
That was great.
I thought it was great. I love when Barry comes on the show, and I'm so glad that you guys went and were able to have such a good time at that little investigation too over at the Wessagusset Park in North Weymouth.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I'm sorry that it freaked you out and you were like, I think that we need to go.
Well, you left the part out about what freaked me out. I wasn't just sitting there like freaked out. There was a screech owl getting closer and closer to us. And listeners, if you haven't listened to that episode, please go back. Screech owls are, it's not like hoo hoo, hoo hoo. It's like a very haunting call. And at Wessagusset, who people believe is there are Native American spirits. And the screech owl represents spirits of Native American warriors coming back to protect their land. So it was very, very, ominous, very spooky being there.
You had such a good time talking about it with Barry, though.
I did, yeah. Barry's a cool guy. I really like Barry a lot.
Episode. So if you guys are just looking for kind of a fun thing, and one of the great things about Barry is he's so factual and research-based, and he's able to really approach a lot of the problems that he comes across during his paranormal investigations. He does a really great job approaching it like a scientist, right?
Also, not like a goofball, like he's not like a giant dork about it.
Right. He's very matter of fact and reasonable. And he's somebody that can keep you grounded when we start getting a little like overwhelmed. He's very good at being like, it's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Barry. Barry listens to all of our episodes. Thanks for always coming on and listening to all of our episodes.
Yeah. And keep up the artwork.
Corbett features.
There you go. So I think next we were going to talk about some of our favorite interviewees. So we've already talked about a couple of them. Jamie Day coming on, Barry, who has been on a couple of times. And so a couple of other ones that really came to mind when we were thinking about who our interviewees were, you know, obviously Christy Parrish from the Oliver House. She's terrific. And then we've had Stephen Flaherty. He's from the Sacred Order of St. Michael. Is that right, Amelia? He's an exorcist. He works with exorcists.
He's an exorcist assistant. Yes. He's also from Seven Hills Ghost Hunting and Paranormal.
And so they're out in Worcester. That was a really great interview. And so, you know, Amelia and I typically hold the line if we don't do demons. But that's for us. And we recognize that there are issues out there in the world with demons. And we try to bring you guys somebody who knows something about that, that you could get in touch with if that's a problem in your life. So check out that episode if you want some more information on him. And this, I think, is one of the things that we do a really good job with on the podcast, is bringing you guys a lot of information that you might not have had access to otherwise. So Barry's really good at bringing in information. Christy has a tremendous amount of information about the Oliver House. Jamie obviously has a tremendous wealth of information. Have we mentioned Will Fox yet?
We have not mentioned Will Fox yet. And I would also like to say that Will Fox has a lot of information, but numismatist David Ray, who we had on, he was someone else. He wrote a 700-page book and just unbelievable source of knowledge.
Yes, that was another fabulous interview. Peyton Pugmire, he was the past life regression hypnotherapist that we met with last summer. And he came on to talk to us about what is hypnotherapy regression. And then we did a whole episode on talking about the regressions that Amelia and I went through. And that was really fabulous. So here's just a quick clip of Peyton talking about what hypno-regressive therapy is and how it works.
What I love the most about regression hypnotherapy is that the client, and I said this to y'all, I believe, in preparation for y'all's sessions, is that you're the captain of that ship. You're steering the ship. I am simply holding sacred space, a safe container for you to go back into those memories and those experiences in a safe way. And then I'm playing detective and asking all sorts of questions so that I'm understanding where you are on that journey and helping you self-navigate the past. But essentially, everything that's coming up is coming from within you. And that, to me, is the most powerful transformational guidance that we can connect with.
Very eloquently said.
How Peyton goes through, and he was able to walk us through those meditations and the past life regressions was just fabulous. And he says later on in the episode, he talks a little bit about how Amelia and I remembered every single part of it, right? And that we had very different experiences, and yet we were able to remember all of it. So highly recommend anyone who has not listened to that episode and wants to know more about past life regression hypnotherapy. And he also does a between the lives hypnotherapy that he talked a bit about. So that would be a really fun one to listen to. And if you haven't reached out to Peyton Pugmire, reach out to him. He can do his past life regressions in person or through Zoom throughout the country.
Yeah.
So, yep, that was Peyton. And of course, we would be remiss not to put everyone's favorite hugging psychic, smiling psychic, pentagram shop psychic, Tim Regan.
I think so. Tim says he's not the hugging psychic, but Tim's great. And he's been on many times. And, mm-hmm. you know, we started this by talking about people who were a wealth of information and how we bring people on who are wealths of information. And Tim really does fully embody that. He's by far the person we've had who most people talk about by far on the show. In fact, we got written up in the Globe and they didn't mention me or Beth, but they did mention Tim Regan. Oh,
I forgot all about that. Yes, I, in fact, paid significant money to have those articles framed so that Amelia and I could hang them up. And I didn't realize it until afterwards. I'm like, they didn't even mention our names. but they mentioned Tim's name.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild. Did you put that article on Instagram or anything?
Oh yeah. It's everywhere.
Oh yeah. It's check it out. It's just a blurb, but it's a good blurb all the same. I really did struggle with what clip of our work with Tim was I going to pull. And so I went with one where we're exchanging ideas and how we, meaning Tim and Beth and Amelia, how each of us feel spirits around us in a certain way.
When I start getting information, it hits me. And especially if you're doing a whole room of people, mm-hmm. it starts hitting you like, okay, what direction is this coming from? Who am I looking at? What am I trying to connect with? I get very much so immediately my stomach starts grumbling as soon as I know that sounds strange, but we all have physical triggers that say, yep. Hey, there's something going on right here. And then all of a sudden I get woozy. I start okay. to get woozy. So I do think that's probably why I prefer to sit as well.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's something we talk about a lot when we go into homes that we feel there's a ghost. Like we will walk in the door and immediately like start going cross-eyed. You feel like there's something on your chest.
Yep.
And that's yeah. when we like look at each other and we're like, okay, someone's here.
Yeah. yeah. My youngest sister is actually a spirit medium as well, which is strange. There's three of us that are psychics and I'm one of eight. So I have a huge family. But there's three of us in my immediate family that do some work with spirit. And she's a nurse and she deals with a lot of deceased loved ones in her 9-to-5 job. And she gets triggers all the time. She walks into a room and she immediately feels like she's very lightheaded. She gets her tongue tingles. She says that her tongue starts to tingle on the tip of it. And that's her trigger that there's something in the room that she needs to commune with.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, that's super interesting.
Yeah, one of the things that I find the most interesting about the paranormal community is how each of us has our own very unique experience, right? Whether it's, Tim's somebody who hears things. I'm someone who definitely I'm more of a feeler. Things touch me, right? He was talking about his sister's tongue just starts tingling. Like everybody's got their own feeling. And I just love when Tim comes on and he talks to us about all the different things that he has such a wealth of knowledge about. So I think we have three episodes with him. Yes.
Maybe he's been on three and then we like surprised him by doing an entire episode on which of his predictions came true. And we didn't tell him about it. And like, until it came out.
yes. Well,
we were like texting through. Each other. We were like, wait, did we tell Tim we're doing this? So another thing that is new to season 6, if people who have been listening to us for a long time will notice that we started having ads at the beginning and the end of our episodes. We don't have a Patreon. Instead, we just have these little ads. We make 0.002 cents every time someone listens to an ad. So please listen to them. But back in the day, we had a different type of advertising here on Ghost Hunting in New England. This episode has been brought to you by Michael trying to sell his car.
Yeah, I've got a blue 2014 Nissan Altima SV. It's got, I think, 82,000 miles on it. And yeah, if anybody's looking for a car, it is running well. It doesn't need an oil change. I'll probably get it done before I sell it, though.
Thank you from our sponsor. And wouldn't you know it, Beth? Mike did get that oil change and he did sell that car.
Yay, Mike.
Yay,
and
Mike.
All because, did he sell it to a ghost hunting in New England fan?
He did not, unfortunately, but he did end up selling it.
Well, just goes to show you, folks, you snooze, you lose.
Bum, bum. So we've had some fun times here at Ghost Hunting in New England together, too. Here are some of our, I don't know, I feel like we have so many silly things, and I don't think I did a good job at like grabbing silly clips, but here's a couple silly ones.
We did a lot of cool stuff with Jamie. So we went to this little kind of hidden cemetery that was up there. That was very, very weird. A lot of unmarked graves, and there is a heaviness about it. There's a cornfield by it.
That cornfield was scary as anything.
Yeah, it's spooky.
I and especially walking by it at dusk when it was just starting to get to that lovely buggy time of the evening, all I could imagine was just creepy crawlies coming out of the cornfield at us.
Yeah, I'm always worried with cornfields that there's going to be a murderer in them.
Good thing we don't have a lot of cornfields in Massachusetts.
Yeah, thank God.
So that's our take on cornfields. We also...
I'm just glad they're not around here.
Beth also has this thing where she tells me, and usually we cut it out, that I look disinterested or unhappy or I'm falling asleep or that something's going on with my face almost every single time we've recorded all 100 episodes. And here's one of the first times.
There's a lot more traffic now when you're trying to drive over here, now that all the kids are back.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So maybe we'll get some new listeners from the variety of new students coming in all over the Boston area.
Yeah, maybe.
You don't sound too enthusiastic about that.
No, I'm very enthusiastic. I'm happy.
You should tell your face that.
I can't. I have Botox.
So, Seabeth, it's not that I'm uninterested. I've just frozen my face.
But see, what's the good of Botox if you always look slightly angry?
I always tell, this is true, I tell my Botox lady, Greta, all the time, I'm like, if I don't have Botox, my Yelp reviews go down. I think Beth and I will agree that one benefit of this pandemic has been recording from home because we don't get into situations like this.
Hi guys, happy Wednesday. Welcome to Ghost Hunting in New England with your host Amelia.
And Beth.
And can I just say, Beth, I am so excited because this is our first time recording here since college came out. And I got here in record time.
Oh, you mean when the students weren't all in your way in traffic? And
correct,
all,
yeah.
Gotcha, okay.
College is finally over.
I'm like, did I miss a movie that released? And
No. I made it here in 50 minutes. Usually it takes me an hour 35, so I'm feeling excellent. Pretty good.
I want to say I left at 4, I got here at 5:40, so rainy night coming up through the city.
It's very rainy.
Yeah, some nights are just like that, but I'm glad that all the college kids are finally out of your way.
Me too. And now we can record at home and we don't have to worry about it at all.
And it routinely sounds better now recording from home.
I think so too.
I mean, I love the Somerville Media Center, but it's just easier this way.
Not as much as we like our houses. So we've also went on a lot of trips in the past 3 years, Beth.
Yeah, we've traveled a lot for a couple of pandemic people.
We've traveled a lot. So I have some clips here of pre-pandemic vacations we went on. Would you like to fly over to Northern Ireland or go to Paris?
Let's stop in Northern Ireland first.
All right.
So the first story is from The Dark Hedges. In the early 1800s, in County Antrim in Northern Ireland, James Stewart planted a series of beech trees along both sides of the driveway to his new property. He had inherited the land from his father and planned to build a mansion on the property and name it after his new bride, Grace.
It's really nice.
Don't you wish that somebody who had inherited some property wanted to name a place Amelia?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Or a restaurant.
There's a restaurant over in Stoughton, Canton. It's right on the line.
There's
called
one in Stoughton, yeah. There's a bunch called Amelia.
Oh, okay. Every time I drive by that, I think of you.
Oh.
I think it's an Italian place.
It's a seafood place.
Oh, so you couldn't go there anyway.
I can't go there, no.
And as the trees grew, they intertwined their branches far above the path, creating a stunning tunnel beneath the limbs the travelers would ride through as they approached the new Grace Hall mansion. Many of our listeners have likely seen The Dark Hedges, as they have been featured on a little show called Game of Thrones, where they were used as the setting for the King's Road when Arya escaped King's Landing dressed as a boy. The hedges are now a popular tourist attraction, and motor traffic on the road has been banned as the weight of tour buses and cars have been destroyed the roots of the trees there.
Interesting.
So they found out as more and more people were showing up after season two that all of this traffic, few of the trees have actually fallen over. So there's a sign that says basically have reason to be there, like keep your car off this road. So everybody parks along the throughway going by it, and it becomes like a traffic nightmare. And people are like darting across the road, and it was a little dangerous. However, while I was there, not a single person I spoke with knew that the hedges are haunted. Everyone thought we were just there because they had been on
Game of Thrones.
Quick question. Mm. Was this because you were on a Game of Thrones tour?
It absolutely was because I was on a Game of Thrones tour. So the spirit that frequents the hedges is known as the Grey Lady. Now, I want to point out that it's Grey, G-R-E-Y, not G-R-A-Y. And do you know what the difference is?
One's a color and one's a name?
No. G-R-E-Y is how the English spell it, and G-R-A-Y is how the Americans spell it.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay.
It's like we don't have a U in color or favorite. But,
or magic.
No, they don't put a U in magic either. This isn't really like, there's no I in team. Like, what did you mean to say?
I can't believe I just said that. No, because I don't know what I meant to say. I'm sorry to our UK listeners. Please write in and correct me and send me a ghost story. Okay, let's go.
The story is the Grey Lady appears beneath the trees at dusk, and she glides along the road towards Grace Hall Mansion. When she gets to the last tree along the hedge, she disappears. She's described as tall and thin with a gray, dressing gown. There are no reports of her attempting to interact with people, simply a woman out for a stroll beneath the trees at dusk. And there are several theories about who the woman was in life. One theory is she was a maid on a nearby farm who was having an affair with James Stewart, and she walks each evening under the trees waiting for him to join her for a stroll. Another theory is that she is Cross Peggy, James Stewart's daughter. There is no explanation for why she is called Cross Peggy, only that her nickname is mentioned in many genealogies. However, she did live to 89 years old, and she never married. Was she never married because she was cross, or was she cross because she was never married? Amelia, your thoughts on that?
Shut the hell up, Beth. Plenty of people don't get married by a certain age, and there's nothing wrong with it. You can look it up online, it's fine.
Anyway, so you were unhappy about the idea that I queried you about whether she was cross because she never married, or she never married because she was cross?
Maybe she just was a little cross, and maybe she worked a lot and just couldn't find the right person.
She was a rich guy's daughter. She didn't work.
You know, I think in my next lifetime, I want to be independent.
I would like to be that at some point in this lifetime. I don't really want to wait. In my next life, I want to be a house cat.
I think that's a step back, karmic-wise.
No.
Okay.
Have you met my cats? My cats have the life. I think this is the first time we've ever mentioned my cats on here. We always talk about Liddy. The last theory is that the spirit is a lost soul from an abandoned graveyard nearby. She's reported to be restless now that her graveyard is abandoned and has become one of the forgotten dead. There's an additional part of the story about other souls and spirits from that same graveyard revisiting the earth on Halloween night and walking with the Grey Lady down the path toward Grace Hall Mansion.
That was a fun story from a fun trip, Beth.
It really was. I did enjoy being told to shut the hell up.
It's weird to think that like half the podcast was before I met my husband.
That is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did hear a lot of, as I was looking for clips, I heard a lot of calls for shirtless pictures.
You were the only one making those calls.
You know, and it's so funny. So listening to that little 4-minute clip of the story from Ireland, I think we went off topic no less than 5 times.
Yeah.
I feel like we've gotten better about that as the seasons have gone on.
A little, yeah.
We're able to like tell our whole story and stay on topic.
Yeah. Okay, so next we fly over to the catacombs, Beth, in Paris, France. And now I am the first person to admit when I do a solo episode, I sound very different than when I'm on here with you. And when I am recording a solo episode in Paris, I get very theatrical with it. So here is my count of being at the catacombs in Paris.
So the day started out absolutely insane for this American tourist. I wake up and drag my sleepy jet-lagged body down to the hotel lobby for some breakfast and 4 shots of espresso. Then call for an Uber. The transportation workers here are on strike right now, and the traffic in Paris is somehow even worse than the traffic in Boston. It just takes forever to get anywhere, and I've seen at least 6 or 7 car accidents so far. It's absolutely wild trying to get around the city. For example, my Uber driver that morning decided to take a scenic route along a pedestrian sidewalk in the 17th District. And me not speaking French, and he not speaking English, there was a bit of silent tension coming from the back seat as I just held my breath and silently began speaking to my angels. But we and all the many people on the sidewalk that morning, thankfully, made it safely off the sidewalk, and I was on the way to the semi-private guided tour of the catacombs to take me into private passageways not open to the general public. So I arrive. It's very cold outside, and I show my ticket to a nice woman wearing a security jacket who doesn't seem to speak much English outside of the phrase, "That line over there, you go over to that line over there." Okay, I understood. I go to that line. And then I go on Facebook Live to air some grievances about how perhaps I didn't need to spend 90 euro on the Skip the Line tour only to be standing here in this line with no coffee, but that's okay. Vibrations are still high, and 20 minutes later I make it to the front of the ticket holder's line and proudly present my ticket. And then, well, despite being a little sleepy and a bit shaken, I did keep in mind my listeners and recorded a little bit of what I experienced.
So I got in after staying in the line, and I gave them my ticket, and they were like, "Oh, you were supposed to meet somewhere else." And I was like, "Well, I gave them my ticket. I gave them everything." And they told me to wait in the line, and they were like, "Oh, well, they're wrong." And then they're like, "Okay, well, you have to go down there and find your guide." And I'm like, "Is anyone coming with me?" And they said no. So now I'm going to the base of the catacombs by myself. Okay, I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
So that was my very, very interesting trip to the base of the catacombs on a tour that went places the general public couldn't go. So when you hear me on those steps, it's like, I want to say it's like 150 steps down. And then there were other tourists down there. So I'm kind of like shoving through people, and there are skeletons everywhere you look. And I like just like see like the last backpack, and I'm like yelling through the catacombs at them, and someone came back and let me through, and I got to go on my private tour, which was very, very spooky.
I bet. Do we hear more about the private tour in that episode?
Yeah. I tell all about the history of the catacombs, all about the hauntings that take place there, all about what happened during the plague and all the parties that went on down there. And that was a very, very fun trip. Oh. So that was in early 2020. So January 2020, I was there. March 2020, we all know what happened. And by the summer of 2020, Beth ended her hiatus, came back, and we discussed some staycations because we were all still at home.
And today we are on a getaway adventure. It's vacation month, everyone. And while none of us can really go that far from New England, we thought it'd be the perfect time to hit up some haunted spots in some great vacation areas.
Vacation locations?
Vacation locations. That's much better. Go. See, I was trying to do something clever like that, and I failed. I belly flopped in the pool with that.
The first place that I wanted to touch on really quick, believe it or not, I am not going to talk about any of the mansions down on the water. I'm going to talk about a couple of other little places. So the first place that I wanted to talk about is called the Jailhouse Inn. So this is on Marlborough Street, right, which is in pretty much like central Newport. It's about a 10-minute walk from all the stuff that you would want to do. It was built in 1772. It was originally a police station and jail. And so that's where all of the Newport police did their thing from. And anybody who was put in jail was put in jail right there in that little jailhouse. It was not considered like a really secure jail location. It was more a just holding place for people to, you know, if they were put into protective custody, it was a place for them to dry out, or it was a place to just keep them for a short period of time until they moved off to a more formal and secure jail, more like a prison setting. So in 1986, they built a new police station and jail in Newport, and the jailhouse was converted over to an inn. So the first and second floors are pretty much okay. There's not really much spooky going on there. It's when you get up to the third floor, there are a lot of tales of just murders that have happened and apparitions. And again, this is a good example of I could not find any of the actual stories. but there are, I know, right? There are a lot of different things out there that just say there's a lot of, you know, gusts of cold wind that will go through on a hot day. There's the whispering voices, things fall over, doors open and close. And so if you wanted to go and stay in Newport, Rhode Island, you might consider staying at the Jailhouse Inn, which is at 13 Marlborough.
I don't know why that clipped early. It's 13 Marlborough Street in Newport, Rhode Island.
And I'm sure that you'll see something spooky if you go.
Spooky, spooky. So, Beth, one thing that we always love on this show is hearing our drive-by ghostings.
Oh, yes. And so if you're new to ghost hunting in New England, drive-by ghostings are a regular feature that we have. This is where our listeners send in ghost stories that they have experienced themselves, and we read them on the show. We've done entire episodes on just listeners' ghost stories.
Yeah. So today I wanted to share my favorite listener ghost story. Beth, let's see if you remember this one from way, way back. At the end of our episode on shadow people, which is one of my favorite episodes to this day.
What if we transfer now into our drive-by ghostings and we have a really fun one?
We do have a really fun one.
Do you guys want to? So let's wrap up shadow people. Yay, shadow people.
Or boo, shadow people.
We don't know. But yeah, time for a really fun drive-by ghosting we got.
Yeah. Amelia's so excited about this one.
I'm so excited. I love this one. I've showed it to everyone I know. This letter is entitled The Legend of Big Boot and the Creepy Nun Not from the Movie. Hi, Amelia and Beth.
Hi.
Hey. I have a great story for you, but first I want to tell you that I have a surprise for you at the end of the story. So this story starts out when I was about 4 years old. I lived in a house that was about Civil War times old. I would have scary dreams about a giant boot that I would call Big Boot. And the scariest part about Big Boot was every time I had a dream about Big Boot, I would wake up and there would be watery footsteps at the edge of my bed that looked like, you guessed it, cowboy boots. Also, I would always have a lady that looked like a nun that would float into my room. I would hide under the covers and the face would go through it. Then I would fall asleep immediately. Okay, ready for that special surprise? I'm a kid! Okay, keep up the good work and make more videos. Bye.
That was our listener, Gabe, who sent us that drive-by ghosting from his mom's email. And when we read it on the show, his mom sent us an email back saying he was so excited that he... What'd he do? He pulled down the... He was in the shower and he pulled down the shower curtain and the rod broke. God bless you, Gabe. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that really was. And we're so glad that you enjoy our show. And we hope you're still listening.
Yeah. Thank you to everyone who listens to us. It's been a lot of fun. So yeah, Beth, this has been great. Thank you so much for being such a great partner in this journey we take together.
Likewise.
Thanks. So you got anything else to cover tonight, Beth?
Just contact information.
Well, Beth, as we come to the end of this, it seems we're about 6 months out from Halloween now.
Mm-hmm.
Are you already starting to think about it?
I am not.
Have you come up with what you're going to be?
I have not. What are you going to be, Amelia?
What am I going to be for Halloween?
Mm-hmm.
I am going to be a woman in labor.
Excellent.
Yay! I'm pregnant and the due date is Halloween.
That's wild.
The due date is October 31st. And that's the reason I'm telling you on the podcast, because it's October 31st.
That's fabulous.
I found out the due date and I screamed at the top of my lungs. I'm like, I can't believe this. It was not planned to be October 31st. Our child is very much planned, very much planned. But we didn't like calculate out when it would be born. And I wouldn't have like set to have a Scorpio baby, because Scorpios and Leos don't always get along. So we're going to have quite the teenage years, I guess, but I'm very excited.
Well, congratulations. That's
thanks. Fun. Thanks. Yay.
Yay. Well, If you want to send Amelia a congratulatory email, you can send it to ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com. You can reach out on Facebook, facebook.com/ghosthuntinginnewengland. Instagram, ghosthuntinginnewengland. Amelia has taken over GHNE's Twitter, which is ghosthuntingNE. She uses that as her own private Twitter, but that's okay. We have a website that may or may not be updated, ghosthuntinginnewengland.com. If you want to send a carrier pigeon, send it to Pancake's house.
Chirp, chirp.
And yeah. One of the ways that we kind of, it started off as a joke, but then it became a thing. We end all of our episodes now with advice on how to be a person in society.
You know, we're living in a society. We're supposed to act in a civilized way.
We always give advice on how to get along with other people, specifically in a restaurant. And so here you go. Here's a whole bunch of our when you're in a restaurant advice.
And when you go to a restaurant, folks, make sure when you get to the counter, you have your money.
Have it out. Have it ready. Don't, none of this, I got to go to my car, I got to do this, I got to do that. No.
Or even better, like it's somehow a surprise, you have to pay for your food.
Yeah. Nope. Just have it out. Have it ready to go.
And you know what? When you go into a restaurant, don't ask for samples of the soup.
What?
If you want, yeah, it happens all the time. If you want soup, order soup. If you don't want soup, don't order soup. It's just that easy.
And when you go into a restaurant, if they offer to seat you in a booth, please don't ask for a table. The tables are out in the middle and they're in the way. Just sit in the booth.
Who wants to be in a table instead of a booth?
My mom.
Rhonda.
If you're in a restaurant and they say they don't have something that's on the menu, guess what? They don't have it, so you don't have to ask a second time.
Are you sure?
No, I'm very sure.
Positive?
Not even in the back.
What if they put
not
up,
even in the back.
What if they put up a sign out front that says, we're out of chicken?
Yeah.
Are you sure that they don't have a chicken out back?
I'm so sure.
What if I brought them some chicken? Do you think that they would cook it for me?
I'm not even going to dignify that with a response.
And remember, if you're going to a casual restaurant, if you order your food to go, take it to go. If you plan on eating there, have it for there. You don't need to eat to-go stuff while you're sitting down. The rainforest is burning and please help save it.
You know what else is gross?
What?
When people are in a restaurant and they take their shoes off.
Bad taste. Don't do it.
Oh, no. I had to look at someone's feet while I ate lunch today. Mm. And if you think for 1 second I could look away from the feet, I couldn't. It's not like it's the middle of summer and they weren't wearing flip-flops. It is winter. It is snowing. They had boots and they took their feet out of their boots and they did not have socks on. So the moral of my story is keep your shoes on in a restaurant.
There you go. You heard it here first, folks. So it's COVID time. So if you walk into a restaurant and you notice there's nowhere to sit and there's like huge signs on the door with stop signs, take a second and read the sign. It's going to save everyone a lot of headache when you walk in.
Reading. It's fundamental. If you're in a restaurant, make sure that you're tipping for takeout. We're living in a pandemic.
And when you're driving on the highway, don't have any loose boxes hanging around. I feel like lately, whenever I'm on the highway, there's like a freaking box jumping off someone's car and it just like crashes. There's never anything in it. There's never anything in it. It's all these freaking empty boxes.
If you're in the drive-through line to get a coffee or whatever, and you take too long, buy the person behind you coffee for them. It's just a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
If they order like $12 worth of donuts and stuff, you don't have to buy that. And as always,
happy hunting.